You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Henshaw and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Here and welcome to Enlightened Conversations. I am so thrilled to be able to share space with a divine soul sister, Dawn Karima. I really am excited. I will informally introduce her to you now. Dr. Dawn Karima is a Native American Music Award winner, a Global Music Award winner, and an Indigenous Artist Activist Award winner who hosts a conversation with Dawn Karima on TalkTainmentRadio.com. I got it eventually, Dawn. Welcome.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm always happy to see you smile.
Thanks, sweetheart. You know, the last time I had you on A1R Psychic Radio, I just didn't feel like I had enough time with you. And it just feels really nice to be able to relax and enjoy sharing space with you properly. What I feel is going to give us more time and expansion to really talk about what's dear to our hearts, because I know we have so much in common and we share a really similar intention for the planet, and so it's a joy really to have you and the space to have to share that with you.
Oh, well, I love being here. I love being anywhere where love is the focus.
Yep. It's great. And just so everybody knows, this beautiful woman has an absolute honey voice, like ridiculously. it's a little bit rough around the edges today because it's got a little bit of the laryngitis touch, but you should absolutely tune into her show, and it's inspiring and beautiful and engaging, and she brings the best out of her guests without a doubt, because she's a woman of true divine love connection with people. There's nothing fake or false about Dawn. She's extraordinarily coming from that heart space, and you do feel it through her words and her music and really everything that she does. So I do invite you to tune into Dawn, because listening to her, you'll just want to listen to her all night long, because she's got such a gorgeous voice.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. You know, I really believe that I have an assignment. We all have an assignment, right? The Creator knows the thoughts and the plans that He has for each of us. And they're plans for peace and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. And my assignment is this: love the Creator and love others. Sometimes that takes powwows, sometimes that takes preaching, sometimes that takes TV, sometimes that takes radio, sometimes that takes writing books, sometimes that takes making movies, sometimes that takes prayer, sometimes it takes fasting, sometimes it takes singing, sometimes it takes dancing, but it's all the same assignment: love Creator and love others. And that's really what I do.
See, I told you, she just did it to you, everybody. Even with a touch of the Larrys, you've still got it going on, girlfriend. You're rocking the love. You're rocking it. I love it. I understand where you're coming from. I totally understand it. For me, it's like part of our enlightenment journey to find out how to love 100% of the time. And you know, that I think people do get tripped up around how to do that, because perhaps they've, you know, had an issue with loving that part of themselves, you know, or transforming it or what have you. And it challenges us. I think part of all our assignments is to learn how to really step into an expansive and all encompassing love. I think it's like one of the, I mean, you do it with ease, but one of the biggest challenges that we all face.
My granddaddy used to say that love has arms and legs. It can talk, but it can walk. And so love is a verb. And I think in our culture today, we trivialize love. We have little greeting cards that say, I love you so much. And people say things like, I love this sweater. And I love that t-shirt. And girlfriend, I just love your hair. And we forget that love is a powerful spiritual force. Why? Because love never fails. If I came up to you right now and said, congratulations, I'm going to get you a superpower. And you'd say, wow, wonderful. I cannot wait to have a superpower. What is it going to be? And I said, it's going to be love. A lot of people would be like, what? Love? Love? Hey, what happened to super speed or super strength or invisibility? But love never fails. If you apply love, and I mean that with action, I mean that with force, I mean that with true soul-stirring power to any situation, you will not fail. Even when it looks like you are failing, you will not be failing. Why? Because love never fails. And here's the secret. Love is the Creator's first language. When you start walking in love, Creator's right there. Boom. We are in sync. We are doing the right thing. When you start talking in love and applying love to people's lives and situations, guess what? You're speaking the language of the Spirit right then and there. And people are like, oh, I'm going to buy lots of books and I'm going to make this hard and I'm going to think about how mysterious this is and this is going to be so challenging and I just do not know what to do to be a spiritual love. Oh, no, no, no. What I meant was something real spiritual, like, you know, real, like I got to go up to a mountain and really think about it. Love. Well, you know, I mean, I'm going to get everybody together and we're all going to vibrate on the same love. Well, I need something powerful now. I need something. I got a lot of problems, a lot of enemies, and the world is crazy and it's turned upside down. Love. What? Love. Love. And the other night I had a dream. And one of the wonderful things about being multiracial is we get to celebrate New Year's more than once. And so we celebrate our green corn ceremony in the harvest time. That's our new year. And then I also celebrate Chinese New Year, and we celebrate with our Plains Native American brothers and sisters at Sundance in the summer. But we also celebrate the European and American calendar year that starts on January 1st every year. And so I like to pause and fast and pray and really seek the Creator. What are you doing? What's going on? What do I need to know? Let's get some inside information here. And so I did that, and I had a dream. And in this dream, I was being strapped into an amusement park ride. And I thought, I don't really want to go on this ride. I don't think I'm going to like this ride. I think this ride looks kind of scary. And the man said, well, you can't get off. You're in it now. You got to ride. And I thought, well, all right. And the next thing I knew, I was going down a flume, and it was really fast. And then it got kind of exciting, and I actually liked it, and I was having fun. And then the ride was over, and they unstrapped me from the ride, and I said, I like that. It was kind of fun. I had a good time. And when I got off the ride, there was this beautiful case. And it was filled with macarons and cupcakes and pastilles and beautiful things. And it was all lit up. Glitter, which is my favorite color. I love all this. And I said, And they said, oh, no, these are your rewards for taking that ride. So I prayed about it. And I prayed for the interpretation. I said, what is really going on here? And what the Creator showed me was that ride was those parts of our lives that maybe we didn't sign on for. That they were not quite what we were expecting. The adventurous part, the risky, I can't see the future type part. Mm-hmm. But at the end, there are all these spectacular blessings and wonderful things.
Yeah.
But here's what unlocks those blessings for us. Love. Gotcha. I know everyone's all interested in my ride, my rewards, and my blessings. But really, all it comes back down to is what? Love Creator and love others. And that's what makes the ride a success. That's what unlocks the blessings along the way. That's what makes all of the adventures and the twists and the turns and the ups and the downs work together into a beautiful future. It's love.
Yeah. And if people find it challenging to love, just say they spend a bit of time feeling very disconnected from their heart space. And people do say this to me. It's like, I just feel so numb, or I just feel so disconnected, or I just feel like I've got a big wall up inside of me and I just don't know how to, I just can't feel it, you know. My advice to them is be willing to love, because maybe they think that loving, and they associate loving with having a broken heart or being hurt by someone or what have you. But the reality is that usually when that happens, what has really happened is that the part of us that wanted love didn't feel loved. So the answer isn't closing off our heart space. The answer is diving into our heart space and loving that part of ourselves that really needs the love. And then, of course, all the walls come down because it's safe to feel love, because we're actually, it's an intimacy between ourselves. Then we can extend out to others and we become that vessel or channel for all of that yummy, goody stuff inside of us to just shower out into the world.
I love what you're saying, because what you're helping someone to see, one of our friends who's enjoying this conversation with us, is that love is not a feeling, it's a force. And so I think we actually distill love down to feelings, and it has nothing to do with our feelings. Love is a verb. I don't always feel like walking, but I sure am grateful I can. So I think sometimes we have to take that, the feelings will come as we walk in love. We have to trust the Creator enough to add that. He would not have asked us to do something that we couldn't do. He wouldn't have asked us to do something that would hurt us to do it. And so all we have to do then is be willing to love, whatever that looks like. Because sometimes true love is willing to be disliked.
Absolutely, 100%.
Right? So love isn't always squishy. I mean, I'm so glad that at the end of my journey and my dream, I got cupcakes. But sometimes you get correction too. Sometimes love will correct you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you think of it like this. If you came to the reservation where I live in the Great Smoky Mountains, okay, there are some trails.
Just joking. Just going, yeah.
Come on. No. There are trails that are marked and they're for your safety and protection. You walk on those trails, you'll see some cool stuff, and you'll look over there, and it'll be great. But every year, somebody walks off the trail. Somebody says, you know what? I know more than all these Native Americans who've been living here for 1,000 years, and I know more than all these people who plan out the trail so I won't get eaten by a bear. I'm gonna go off here in the woods. And they're lost, and they're struggling, and they don't know what to do. But you know what? People mobilize to come and get them. Sometimes that's the way love works. Sometimes that's the way Creator works. If you're just, you know, off the path, you're just out there doing a bunch of dumb stuff, kind of crazy, whatever. Creator loves you so much that even if you're messing up, he will come and save you. He'll send people alongside you to help you. Let's get you back on track. He'll send words of wisdom and knowledge and revelation. He'll help you. Now, why am I saying that? Because sometimes we think that love will only be cupcakes. And sometimes it is correction. You're cut off that trail. And rather than let you go off and get eaten by a wild boar or something crazy, I will show you the path to walk on.
And maybe
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. And maybe it's because one needed to be distracted.
And, yes.
And maybe be a little bit arrogant just to think I can do this all on my own, to then learn that we're all in this together. And you know what? Even if you think you can do everything on your own, sometimes you need to receive. You actually need to be that person that says, I'm not perfect. I can't do all this on my own. And it's okay to ask for help and receive help.
Yes. And sometimes we forget that humility comes before honor. And the greatest way of showing humility is to ask.
Agreed.
I could do this myself, but I'm going to ask you to help me. I could think about all this by myself at my house, or I could have an enlightened conversation with you and send twice the energy and exponential vibrations into the universe. And I think that is so precious and special. I really do. I think there's a great thing. I think a lot of times creator is just waiting for us to ask, you know.
I agree 100% on that, because for me, one of the things that I bump up against with most people that feel like they're blocked from receiving, the fact that they're so caught up in having to work out how to get what they want that they haven't actually stopped to ask for their connection with Creator. You know, what is it that you want me to do specifically, like specific steps? And hey, I don't care. It doesn't have to be a whole to-do list, but just give me the next thing. And usually if that message does not come through in that instant, within about 24 hours, you're going to get a really strong message, whether it's through someone, you know, news that you receive, a big blinding sign somewhere that's going to stick out like you know what, and you're going to go, oh, that's the next thing I've got to do. And hey, I have, you know, had those repeated messages. It's like you ask and then you get a repeated message the whole day. You're like, come on. You can't miss that. So yes, asking, I think, is being in that space of humility is so important, so that then you can honor your path. Then you can walk a path of honor, because you're not willfully going along the path going, I know best and I can do so much and I can achieve this and I know, do. Because we do get caught up with that. You know, I mean, even myself, I'll get an idea, I'll get that one step, and then I'll go on the tangent of this is how it looks. But that's actually not the way it works. You get a step, you may get a little bit of, you know, planning towards where you're going, but then you need to be open-minded enough and humble enough, because I think open-mindedness and humility go hand in hand, because you can't be humble unless you've got an open mind to infinite possibilities.
Right.
So it's like, and then you go, okay, I'm here and I'm willing, I'm doing this next step or these next steps that you've told me, but then you've got this and you'll show me more as I need to know. If we knew every single thing that was coming our way, every single moment in time, we wouldn't even be experiencing the journey of enlightenment or experiencing the journey of reconnecting to spirit and evolving. So it really comes back to us coming back into a place of knowing that intrinsically we will only be shown what we need to know when we need to know it repeatedly. I think repeatedly, because if you're not sure, they're going to repeat on you.
I love that, because what it means is that Creator is very invested in our success, not necessarily in the worldly way, but in our making it to be who we're created to be. And so what that means is that love never fails, because Creator will just turn up the volume. He'll just increase the frequency, or he will do something. A while back, I started praying, Creator, don't just give me red flags. Give me red lights.
Nice.
What I noticed was, you know, I would get red lights. Don't, oh, no, that's not for you. Oh, no, leave him alone. Walk away. No. And every time I would stop at those places and say, what now? I would be directed to something so much better and so much more wonderful. And I'm thinking about a dream I had the other night. And I was in the dream, I was invited to these people's house and I was staying with them and they were kind to me. And everyone is. I'm always amazed at how kind people are to me. You know, it's not like I'm even doing anything special. People are just so very kind to me. And they don't have to do it, but they do. And I'm grateful for it. And these people said, we have a special event. Everyone's going. We have to be on time because they lock the doors if you don't come on time. So go get ready. So in my dream, I went upstairs to the room where I was staying, and there were all these dresses, and they were sort of ecru and eggshell and off-white and beige, and they were just, you know, So I tried on one, and it was too short, and I tried on another, and it was too big, and I tried on another, and it was too small, and I tried on another, and I thought, okay, this is going to work, but then it had little stains on it. And I thought, oh no. And everyone else is like, come on, let's go. We're going to miss this special event. In the dream, I paused and I said, Edo, as I get the message, what do you, Creator, want me to wear? And instantly in my dream, right before me, in the same wardrobe I had been digging in, finding all the wrong dresses, was a beautiful red dress. And as soon as I saw it, I knew it would be perfect. I knew I would fit. I knew it was my dress. I took it out, I put it on, and in the dream, I was literally like tying up the bow in the back as we were all running out the door, and we made it on time to the special event. Now, I'm not vain enough to think everybody needs to hear about my dreams, but this one was a reminder to me because I was struggling with very average, mediocre dresses until I asked for help. Help me. What do you think? What do you have planned? And it was better than what I was coming up with, which was wrong dresses that didn't fit and weren't great. But when I asked for help, the Creator gave me the perfect dress for me. Now, I'm not saying everyone should go out and start, you know, dressing in red dresses, which is a great idea, but don't. I'm just saying, in my dream, that was to remind me of how I'm guided, that I ask, that I allow Creator to partner, and I partner with Creator. Creator's going somewhere. I'm just going to put my hand in his and go too. And I think sometimes we need those little reminders that Creator has something better for us than we ever dreamed. And all I had to do in the dream was ask. It wasn't like I had to ask and then knit a dress, or I had to ask and then figure out how to get a dress. It was right there all the time, waiting to be revealed. And right now, in each and every one of our lives, there are some blessings waiting to be revealed. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is say yes.
Agreed. And it is a bit like magic in your life, I call it. You know, you sprinkle a little bit of open willingness to have that help come in, and oh my God, you just realize what was already there, but not only what was already there, what is coming as well. And you do see a lot coming as well. But I'm interested in your grandfather, because you say a lot on your posts as well. My granddaddy used to say, my granddad, and I love it. I just love it. I just love your granddaddy, because he's spot on. And wow, did he rock the wisdom department or what?
Yeah, they all did. I am so very blessed in that. I was raised with all my great grandparents and grandparents, and I have wonderful parents, and they're all really wise people. And it's not just that they sit around being wise, it's that they're really all plugged in to what Creator is doing and saying and speaking.
Yeah.
And I think I quote them because every time I do, my granddaddy, actually, I'll be in the middle of a situation and it'll just come to me. And that's the answer. Like, I could struggle with the answer in a business meeting. And then I remember, my granddaddy used to say, if it ain't yes, it's a no. You know, I mean, there's all these little things that come to me that he used to say that are wise. My father's the same way. I mean, if you ask my father a question, you will get this treasure trove of knowledge. My mother, my grandmothers, my great-grandmothers, my great-grandfathers. And I think that's because I come from a culture where we really value our elders. We look at our elders as the repository of cultural, spiritual, traditional knowledge. And so we embrace that fully. You know, I think about some of the things they said to me. When they said them, I'm not so sure I needed them at the time, you know? But they come back. They rise up. They're in there. You know, my dad used to say two pieces of advice, best piece of advice I ever got. My father used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the second thing he used to say, he still says it. He still says that too. But he still says, never ask a question unless you're sure you want the answer. And that has been a powerful part of my walk with the Creator. Because a lot of times I ask a question, why doesn't somebody do something about this? Oh my goodness, look at this. No, what? And it's me. It's me. Because there's some things where that's just how I get led. And in fact, I'm like, I'm not even gonna look over there, Creator, because I know if I do, you're gonna tell me. All right, I'll go. And so much of my assignment has been based on just that kind of thing. And so I love my granddaddy. And what's funny is people ask about things like, what would your granddaddy say about this? I said, well, he'd probably tell you this. And I've published several pieces, longer pieces in literary magazines and journals about my family and what they say. And even my novels, you know, The Way We Make Sense and The Marriage of Saints, they're all based on, loosely based, just in case anybody's paying attention to that. Now, they're not necessarily autobiographical, but it's a way of taking these wonderful, precious lives that I'm absolutely in love with, each one of them, and making them eternal, making sure they're always there for me, making sure that they're always, always, always where I can tap into that wisdom at any time that they gave me. And people always say, well, what if I didn't have a granddaddy like yours? Because a lot of people come back with that. They say, you know, well, my granddaddy was, you know, a drunk, or he didn't say anything, you know. Well, then there are always elders amongst us. You don't have to be old to be an elder. You just have to be walking in wisdom and walking by faith. And so look for your elders. If there's some author that inspires you, if there's somebody that you love to look up to and what they say gives you life and strength, then you can quote them just like I quote my granddaddy, and we'll be just fine.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. That is so good because, yes, sometimes we think that the family that we are born into, like our biological family, is the end of it and that's it. But that's not true. I feel like we do create and recreate those connections with our family and our new family that we draw to us. I consider you part of my family, Dawn, because we share a kinship for life that is really the same, on that same energy of love. And so for me, I consider you part of my family, and there are people that I meet along the world along the way that I just go, you're my family. I just feel it. You're my family. I know that we're all connected in love. I do know that. And really, you know, we talk about different tribes, but really we are one tribe. But I guess just in terms of little pods that we go around in to awaken and to help each other stay awakened and support each other in that as well. I feel like that's really important to own that, you know, to own that and to say it out loud and say, you know what? I consider you family.
Well, I love that. Thank you so much. That blesses me so much. But I come from a culture where we make families, right? We have tribes, we have clans, we have families, and then we adopt, we have kinship rituals, and we add people to our families, and we stretch and we grow this way. And so I love what you're saying, because when it comes to families of origin, I did get the best one. I mean, I really did. And I mean, people who follow me on social media are like, I can't believe all these people are in one family. They're not perfect, but they have one thing in common. Everybody loves everybody else, and everybody works as a team. That's the other thing. And my granddaddy really stressed that, you know, that we're all a unit, you know, separate are the fingers, one is the fist. And so I did have thank you, Creator, for this awesome family of origin. But over the years, it's amazing to see how it expands. My uncle's military buddies, and like at our house, we don't even know where these people came from. I'm serious. A lot of times I'm just like, oh, that's old cousin so-and-so. And they're like, well, who's cousin so-and-so? I have no idea. He served with my uncle in the military. This is my mom's best friend from college. This is, and they all somehow get, or this is somebody who just, people just come. That's the other thing. There are people who just consider themselves part of the family. And so, you know, you're having a barbecue or something's happening and all these people are just like, well, it said it was for family and friends. So of course I came. And it'll be like the postman. And the UPS driver came one time. And I'm like, nah, I know you ain't kin to us. And he's like, oh, I know, but I'm practically part of the family. I'm here all the time. Follow you on Facebook. I thought I'd get a plate. And so we just have all these people who want to be part of our family.
And save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe. But some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Do you overcook your pasta? Do you mix your lights with your darks and tell long, complicated jokes that have no punchline? Do you have trouble wrapping gifts, sound like a hyena when singing happy birthday, and have no idea how the metric system works? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you can't tie a Windsor knot, forget to defrost the chicken, can't tell a latte from a cappuccino, confuse North and South Dakota, overuse commas, throw a frisbee like it's a flounder, and still believe kids really do love lima beans, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Email from school. What about the incident today?
Scary.
Tell me about it. Did you have any idea that was going on?
None. I mean, you saw Derek at the game last night, too. Did you have a clue?
No, but you know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do. Kids hear first about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
It can be hard to tell sometimes, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, bullying, violence, anything, you need to tell an adult. Mom or me, a teacher, coach, school counselor, someone you know and trust.
Dad, no kid is gonna tell an adult about that kind of stuff.
I get it, but if we don't know, we can't help. Speaking up about a problem, that's what helping a friend is all about.
Supporting minority education. I'm Sean Booker, damn it. I'm here to tell you that as the mother of a high school senior, I know due to financial circumstances, many of America's deserving minority students do not have access to a college education. Since 1944, the United Negro College Fund has sought to provide one. Since 1972, the beginning of this campaign, UNCF has helped more than 300,000 talented students earn a college degree. I'm Sean Booker, damn it. Give a helping hand.
The SCORE Association, Service Corps of Retired Executives, was formed in 1964 as a nonprofit association dedicated to the entrepreneurial education and the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. More than 10,500 volunteer members provide individual counseling, mentoring, and business workshops for aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners. The association is headquartered in Washington, D.C., with 389 chapters throughout the United States and its territories. For more national information, contact SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. Again, that's SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. This has been a public service announcement from TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
And this brings me to another spiritual gift. I'm so happy that we could talk about this because I think we need to bring this back because so many blessings are hidden in this spiritual gift, hospitality. Hospitality. Some entertain angels unaware. Hospitality isn't just come in my house and have coffee. Hospitality is making space for people, saying hello to them, recognizing them as human beings. There are so many blessings hidden in other people and making room. I'm scooting over, come on. Come on, come on, Michelle Lightworker, be part of the family. We'll leave the light on for you, like my granddaddy used to say. You're welcome here. Now, I know we can't throw our lives wide open and just let in everybody, because then you could have some crazy folks and some weird things happen, but we can begin with the idea of being hospitable to people, showing love to people. Good morning, how are you? One of the things they talk about in the South is Southerners say hi to everybody. People wave at you, they're driving in the car, you wave at people, whether you know them or do we know them? You don't have to know them. They're human beings and you hope they have a nice day. Act like you got some raising, some home training. And hospitality, I feel spiritually, opens us up to more blessings and more people and more help, because you never know who Creator is going to use in your life or who he's going to use. And hospitality, being willing to bring people in and say, you want to be part of this family, and you seem well behaved, you seem all right. That's what my granddaddy used to say. Welcome. We'll get you a plate, you know, sit down for a while. And I think when we come to that space where we love one another in that way, welcoming people and being kind and smiling at people when you're walking down the street, it costs $0. It takes no effort to be kind and hospitable to people in those ways. And I think those are things that everybody can do. Have to have any special spiritual anointing or any particular revelation gifts or anything to be kind and hospitable to people. We can do that.
But it does, all of us can. Does so much. Yeah, exactly. But it does so much for us when we do that. We have no idea. Being willing to be welcoming and gracious and accepting and understanding of people as human beings on an equal playing field. We're all on an equal playing field here. When we start to do that, we do something for ourselves. We shift our vibration, we shift our energy, we expand our capacity to love too. And we stop making the universe revolve around us as well. You know, oh, what will they think? Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's actually okay just to be nice and kind without worrying about what the hell that person might think of you.
Right.
Because they might. Well, you're nuts, you're being kind, and that's okay too. And maybe that's their lesson, do you know, like that they're not used to that and that still exists in the world. Who knows? The way we affect people with our kindness, I think, is transcendence, part of transcendence as well. Do you know that vibration of where we're bringing our light into it, perhaps a situation that they're not used to, but just simply by being us. And being, like you're saying, hospitable and welcoming and inviting a connection, that can change people's world. That dynamic energetically can change people's world right there. Like, that might restore their faith in the human race. They might have been treated badly for years or never had anyone say hello to them. Who knows? We don't know, do we? But then on the other side of the coin, you're right. We don't know. Creator works through everybody. So what, by inviting somebody into our space, if we're going to have that level of equality and we're going to be really connecting with that and going and keeping an open mind and going, you know, I don't know what this person is being presented for me, but they might literally be the key to some awakening or unlocking something that is next for me that I didn't even know. And we might miss it if we don't give that attitude of hospitality.
I love that you see that so clearly. I think also one of the virtues in our society today that is so precious to me, but I see it's really underrated, is mercy.
Yeah, me too. Mm. Absolutely. Oh my God.
That sometimes it's just an opportunity to sow some mercy, which if you live long enough and go outside your house every now and then, you will eventually need as well.
Absolutely.
So you say hi to that person, they don't say hi back. That's all right. Sprinkle a little mercy on it. Go on your way. Because sometimes we are the medicine. Sometimes we are the healing. Sometimes we're coming into a situation just to apply mercy on it. We're just coming in just to remind people that it's a friendly universe. That Creator is for you. He's on your side. He's not against you. He's not sitting there judging and hating you and, oh, you're just never good enough. And sometimes smiling at someone, you know, that's all it takes to bring people back into that space where they know that they're loved and they're precious and they're special and they're valuable. And I know in my own life, I'm not sure I'm good at a whole lot, but I know that that's a gift that Creator gives me, is that I'm good at loving people. That's something I can do. I don't have a lot of spectacular skills, but that I have.
Can I ask you a couple of things? Because I mean, we have a natural connection, but I've never really kind of asked you about, you know, your past and how you what happened for you. Like, I know you were in beauty pageants and you've done, like, what have you done? Like, tell me a little bit about your little story of how you came into being who you are and doing what you're doing. Tell me a little bit about your journey.
Well, the best thing I can tell anyone about my journey is what I just said about my family. I was born into this fantastic family, and I'm the family business. So I started performing as a child. I started singing as a child. I started with television and all of that as a child. And my amazing family just identified the gifts that I had and the talents that I had. And they just got behind it in a tremendous way. I mean, they gave me the best education I could have. I'm a Harvard graduate, you know, and I have my master's, my PhD, and I'm a blessed person. All because everybody said, this is what we're going to do. And that's why I think I'm so very conscious of the idea that it takes all of us together to make tremendous things happen. So my journey basically is that. I actually was on a path. First time I perform in public, I sing for an audience of hundreds and hundreds of people. I am in preschool. And then I sing, and there's television, and there's modeling, and then there's pageants, which I used pageants to help pay for my master's degree. And so that's why I got in them with scholarships. But then that's how I just got discovered for broadcasting, right? Because they were looking for a certain, you know, can you talk and do you look a certain way? And so here we are. And so I wish I could say that my journey had like all these spectacular twists and turns and things, but it really doesn't. It's actually what happens when a lot of people agree on one thing: they love somebody a whole lot. I am the product of that. Both sides of the family, everybody got together and said, we love this person with all our hearts, and we're going to put our lives into making all of her dreams come true. And so then the books follow and the music follow, you know. I have 2 Global Music Awards, the Desire of Nations won a Native American Music Award, and then also a Global Music Award, and then the Stars of Heaven has a Global Music Award also. And everything else follows from that act of love. People saying, we love this young woman with our lives. We love her with our lives. And they didn't just say it. And they didn't just do it when it was convenient. I think about them getting in the car, you know, and driving me all over the country for auditions and commercials and all the things I did. And then going back to work the next day. And I think about the things that they went without so that I could have a Harvard education and have the best possible chance at this big, amazing life. And now look, it's fantastic. I love my life. I love everybody in it. But most of all, I love the people, my mother and my father and my grandparents and my great grandparents and my great aunts and my great uncles and my cousins and my uncles who made this possible, who did everything in their power to make sure that I would live happily ever after. And so when people say, well, how did you learn to love? Did you read books about love? Did you study love extensively? Did you have a guru? Or did you perhaps take some notes about love? Or did you have an experience that caused you to understand love fully? No. And I think that's perfectly fine if people do. But what I did was I saw it every day. Everything, everybody around did and still does, is to say to me, we love you, we believe in you, we believe in the gifts and the talents and the spiritual gifts that are in you, and we will do everything we can to activate and realize and support and encourage those. I saw love in action. The way people love me, that's the way I try to love other people. I try to speak life into them and actualize their dreams and tell them, I believe in you. And I think about the people who didn't have to do it, because people always say, well, your family, you know, they of course they're gonna love you. But I think about the other people in my life who didn't have to do it. They volunteered, they signed on. They signed on to make evening gowns and dresses, and they signed on to chaperone me on tour, and they signed on to learn to play the piano so they could accompany me when I sang, and they signed on. And that's my godparents and my friends and my Sunday school teachers and my pastor and his wife and my women's Bible study leader and my fans even. Because I my fans are the best fans in the world. In fact, I don't even consider most of them fans. I consider them true friends because they help me do things. I don't even stay in hotels when I travel. I stay with people who want me in their home. What an honor that is. So I wish I could take credit for it. I wish I could say, yes, I have all this spiritual education and this has made me good at loving God and loving people. But really all it is people have shown so much love. And they put love into me. And that's what flows out to other people.
I love that. And it makes me feel so filled with hope for the human race that a lot of the current people that I deal with have been through hard times and therefore have felt what it feels like to not be loved and be in that dark place. And then they then awaken because they want to move towards the light. But then you have other children and people that have come into this world who know what you know, who have lived what you've been through and been loved the way you have, and that they know that and they know how that feels. Mm-hmm. And that the people that are their parents, if they're challenged to love as much as that child can love, then the parents can rise up. And then they can learn how to love, and that is a mission. That child who has the infinite potential to do what you're doing in so many creative ways and other ways as well. So that they give that child the best chance that they possibly have at creating love as you're saying, is a force, so that force continues to flow through them as they grow up into an adult. And if parents take that seriously, that loving your child is not a little thing, it's a massive thing. And sometimes loving means saying no, because you don't want their hand to be on the stove getting burnt. Absolutely, you know, love comes in different forms. But loving intention behind everything you do as a parent, I feel like that is one of the greatest gifts that comes in the parenting role, you know, that we perhaps parents go, oh, I'm just a parent, you know, oh, I'm just a stay-at-home single mom, or I'm just a, you know, oh, I'm just a housewife. Well, hang on a second. You know what? You've probably got this assignment at the moment that you don't realize how amazing it is.
Wow.
What you've described is that collective energy that have banded together to decide to do that as a collective, and the power of numbers in loving is incredible, absolutely incredible. And I'm so grateful that you're able to have had the history that you've had, that it has been a really great, awesome family, that you don't have any sort of massive, you know, stories of tragedy growing up to actually step in to go, actually, this is how I was loved, and this is what I want to give back to the planet. I just think that's just so awesome, Dawn. It really is.
It is a great gift, and it is a great privilege to be loved. It's a privilege to have been loved like this. And I do want to say this, though. Everybody was very aware of who I was and what I could do, even when I was little tiny. So they were very aware. They had identified gifts. They had identified things. And they said, okay, this is, you know, either going to be a great thing or this is going to be a train wreck. And so they put their minds together. And so I think I want to say that. I say that a lot when I speak, because I have a lot of tween and teenage girls that are fans of mine. And I want to really exhort parents to identify those gifts in your children. Speak life to those gifts. I mean, people said, they're like, here's the mic. Are you going to sing? And I sang. And I spoke. And I did all these things. And people treated me with great respect when I did them, even as a child and a teenager and beyond. And so I really want to say that, because as parents, I think it's really important when you see gifts in your children, speak life to that. Nurture that. Because I believe children show you who they are early. We have a baby picture where I'm pretending to interview somebody. I'm making I'm pretending I have a microphone.
Thank
and I'm two. And so, I mean, I'm little and I'm like, and my grandparents used to record me. They would record what I was doing and all of these things. And I think that when we speak life to children, great things happen. But I want to say something to folks who maybe feel like they didn't get the parenting, or they didn't get the love, or they're just sort of like, well, you know, too late for me. Oh, no, it's not. Creator is a father to the fatherless. He loves you so much. And I am here to say that at any point, you have a family. You have a spiritual family. You have people in your life that can be brought to you at any point and nurture those gifts within you. It's wonderful how merciful Creator is. You cannot be late. You're always on time for such a time as this. That's why you are here right now. I have people that are like, well, you know what? If I had started like you, I would have been great too. You don't get off the hook that easy. I mean, that's ridiculous. You're still here, right? That means you need to get busy about that greatness, because you still are here. We need you now. We need you now. Even if your story is a mess and you're ashamed of parts of it, that's okay. We need that story too. We need everyone's story. We need everyone's heart. We need everybody to start loving right where they are. You know, I think it's very important that we remember that you are so loved. The Creator is in love with you. Your gifts and talents are exactly right. Your timing is exactly right. who you are and who you were created to be is exactly right for right now. Come love other people. Come love Creator, love others. Be the medicine. Come right now, just as you are. You'll do better later. You can get better later. You can fix that later. Come on. Start loving people right where you are in the space where you're around. I had the pleasure, the honor, the privilege of meeting a woman when I went to visit a nursing home. And she was 103 years old. And she said she couldn't do much anymore. But every day she could tell somebody that she could love them. Well, guess what? We can too. We can do that in any way that the Creator gives us every day.
Oh God, stop crying.
I know. I didn't want to come on our show and cry. That's okay. That's okay.
Oh, it's awesome, sweetheart. I feel you. I feel you so much. And it is a force and it does flow through you and it flows directly into my heart and my soul, my spirit. Thank you. I know that we're coming up to the end of our little hour of power that's turned into an hour of love power, which I've absolutely loved, ironically. But I just want to make sure people can find you and, you know, they can, if they want to grab your CD, also what's happening for you this year. So anything you want to do just to let people know what's going on in Dawnville.
Well, first of all, I want to say, Madomahe, a big thanks to you for inviting me. I love you. And I always am happy to spend time with you. And I want to say to everyone who spent this time with us, just in case nobody's told you today, we love you and Creator does too. And I have lots of ways that you can feel that love. I have a show called A Conversation with Dawn Karima that airs on Talktainment Radio. We have all of our podcasts archived, free, and no cost means no excuse. You can go to Talktainment Radio. Just Google A Conversation with Dawn Karima. It comes up. We have love and light in every message. We have fantastic people encouraging you, uplifting you. You can find my music, which will uplift and encourage you too. And all the proceeds go to charity. All the profits go to charity. So when you buy my music, it's not like, you know, suddenly I'm just gonna show up, you know. No, you're gonna love these songs because they're filled with love and light. The Stars of Heaven, The Desire of Nations. You can find them on iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, and the profits go to charity. We help other people because you make that possible. And I want you to know how much I love you. You don't even know me. I don't have to know you. Creator loves you. And because Creator loves you, I love you too. And so if you ever need an extra dose of that love, my music, Stars of Heaven, and I have a brand new on CD Baby, a wonderful motivational spoken project called Sharp Iron. You can find my music on iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, and you can find me on talktainmentradio.com.
And also, you know, I don't know if you have a public page on Facebook, but I love your posts on Facebook.
I do. I have a public page on Facebook, yes.
You do.
Public page on Facebook.
And I love your live streams. I love your live stream. The live stream, and I'm like riveted, you know. So there's ways that you can reconnect with Dawn that stay in her energy vibration. And also we've got... There's a number of articles that Dawn's written for Lightworker Advocate magazine as well. There is an article called Love is my Superpower, which I really enjoyed reading and putting together the magazine. And also we've got more coming up in editions coming up anyway, but they're certainly wonderful reading. If you think that you like Dawn just the way she speaks, wait till you read what she writes. It seriously does go through you, and it's very powerful reading. So I invite you to check out Dawn's articles in Lightworker Advocate magazine too. Well, I don't want to say goodbye, but we have to wind it up. So thank you so much again, beautiful soul, and for sharing your energy, your insight, your wisdom, your love with us all. We're so blessed.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard. Ain't never look back once the war forgave you. Come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard. Ain't never look back once the war forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.